This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Kia ora and welcome to Free Left Turn, a left-wing perspective here on 89.0 Independent Community Media. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning.
Good morning, General. Good morning. Summery good morning. Day out good morning.
Yeah.
Good morning, mate. Yeah. Really enjoying it.
Yep. But heavy. I'm a bit heavy-hearted this week. I lost my dog. Lost a little pet dog long time, 15. So pretty hard thing to do is to put a pet, you know, a close pet down. You know, so I didn't enjoy the. Enjoyed it all, nor did my kids, so, but it's done now, so, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, you can always hear these stories about people who are close to their pets, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you can see.
What happens,
And especially cats sort of like to be fed and then they sort of go off and do their own thing, but dogs are pretty loyal. You know, most dogs are, you know, they say a man's best friend, you know, and it was my late wife's best, you know, she loved that dog, so, to bits, so, yeah. Yeah.
I've never been a pet person myself, but my mother's family, they had a pet golden retriever.
Yeah.
Or Labrador golden male. Yeah. It was one of those two. And after my mother got married, the dog was killed on the road and that caused great upset, apparently.
Oh,
that was the story.
Yeah. I remember my other dog, Pippi, that was, you know, we had, when it first came to Hamilton, so it was 20-something years ago, we had to put her down and... euthanize it, and I cried like a baby, you know. And I was still teary. I was still teary yesterday, you know. It's quite an emotional time, but my first dog, I just couldn't stop. I just bawled.
Become part of your family.
But I'll just tell you this last funny story about it. I remember when we first got her, it was a rescue dog from someone who had a disability and they couldn't cope. So Lisa got her, our daughter got her, And my wife said, "Oh, well, no, I don't want a dog." And then she said, "I'll go with Mum." And so she said, "As long as we can handle it, that's all right." But she's got to sleep in the washhouse. Well, we got her, and I didn't get any. It's because I get a bit of an allergy sometimes from horse hair and dog's hair, but I didn't, so that was fine. And she said, "Well, she can sleep in the washhouse." And so, that lasted till about 3 or 4 in the morning.
The same day.
And then it was like, put her in the lounge. She can sleep in front of the TV. Well, that lasted about 20 minutes of that.
Same day, we're talking about the same day.
And then it was like, all right, well, she can put a bed at the bottom of the bed. Well, I woke up about 9 o'clock after a very poor sleep of getting up and down with the dog, and there's 3 heads on the pillows, my wife's, the dog, and mine.
All in the space of 24 hours.
And, that's basically how it stayed, you know? But if you're going to get a pet dog, get a non-shedding one. You know, because
that's why people get those lap poodles too. Because they don't shed.
Well, in all honesty, it's my personal bedroom time. But you know, the dog left less hair on the sheets in the bed than I did.
You should have got him for an Abyssinian.
I didn't think he was that hirsute.
Yeah, but it just shows you, you know. It was time. So yeah.
You got yourself an Abyssinian cat.
Yeah. But the vets were lovely. I went to Newstead Vets and they have been looking after a long time. They did a wonderful job. So, yeah, appreciative. Yep.
Okay, so this week. Yeah, thank you for that Richard Murphy stuff, that stuff.
It was very interesting. I forgot to show Mick.
Yeah.
What was it about now?
I like the
neoliberalism.
And the economics of destruction.
Well, that's been his mantra for quite some time.
But this was good. I like that one there.
It was very good.
This is fairly recent.
I'll show it to you. Remind me to show it to you.
Very recent, so...
Well, he's good. He's worth listening to.
Yeah, I recommend that anyone's listening. Go to Richard Murphy. Just, you can find him on YouTube. And he has a... They're not long. They're usually only anywhere
but
10 to 20 minutes. But he used, not all of them are related to us, but they're basically about capitalism. And he was saying we need, rather than an economy of greed, we need an economy of care. And he's not just talking out of a hole in his head. No. He's a qualified economist and, you know.
He's an emeritus professor of... Accounting or something like that.
Something. So he's had lots
of... Another guy is Richard Wolff. He's another... Good person.
An American guy, he's very good. Yeah, so there are economists and big money people that are who are on the what you call the left and are calling that there's got to be something different than neoliberalism, which just seems to be destroying the whole fabric of society.
I always get an impression from Richard Murphy, but they're not so much advertising the fact they're left, they're just saying this is what's going on, and this is not working,
Exactly.
And he's saying that too,
And these guys aren't living in hovels.
No. They're academics.
They're academics. They have nice houses and holidays.
White tower scenario,
But they have a care. They go, this is not working for societies.
Mm. Yeah. I played that against Seymour, State of Nation speech, and his call for less ministries and small government.
So
that plays right into the neoliberal argument.
Of course it does.
I got the article here too. He's comparing us to, or he's comparing what we could do with Norway. Apparently they only have 20 ministers in their cabinet.
Yeah, but they do have a social conscience.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he still, the maths doesn't add up because he wants to reduce the number of ministers and departments and then claims that each minister would be responsible for each department. The maths doesn't add up in terms of who has what portfolio.
It's
slash and burn stuff.
That's what it is, So I'm wondering, will the Ministry of Regulation go?
Yes, that's the first thing I thought of. Yes, it's the same guy who's introduced more bureaucracy.
So I find him a little bit of a hypocrite.
But let me guess, does he want, does he use the public roads when he goes to his beach house or goes up to his not his land? Does he, if something goes wrong, does he go to the hospital? Does the police protect his property?
He's quite happy with the system to get where he is now.
He's quite happy with that,
Then he goes, oh, well, I'm all right.
It's so just, you can't have it.
Reminds me of Paula Bennett, got all her education and everything else. Yeah, then pulled the ladder up. Never mind anyone coming behind me,
I'm all right.
I'm all right, Jack, Very selfish, short-sighted stuff. John Key was the same, of course.
I struggled to even read about Mr. Seymour.
His polling numbers went down.
That could change.
Yeah.
I don't have much faith in the polls, really, myself.
There are a lot of nut jobs on those particular Facebook pages, like ACT, New Zealand First, and stuff like that,
No, I just, it always annoys me, and I can't swear on the radio, but...
you can think it, though.
But it just annoys me that people have had the advantage of the state and the largesse and the kindness and like even going to varsity, they're still subsidised heavily by we the people. This person digging a ditch is subsidising the doctor and the teacher and the engineer. You don't pay your full fees going to varsity, and yet it's made out that they struggled, and they might have struggled, but they've still got a big help from we the people, and that seems to get lost.
And I blame the press for doing that too, because they reinforce this narrative of Mr. Seymour and his ilk.
And others, I worked hard for my money,
Apparently.
So
I'm not impressed with Mr. Seymour.
I never have been.
Him
and this is all part of the electioneering. It's starting to gear up now.
Gearing up.
I've seen all that. I saw all the national MPs in the South Island hanging around. I think it was a...
But were they all white, apart from that?
Very much so, yes. quite blinded by that.
They're clear. I think they've got a token Māori person.
Oh, yeah.
A semi-Māori person.
From here, So they were attending this function to do with sheep farmers and all that sort of stuff and getting their free... piece of mutton or lamb.
How many sheep per motel room?
But there were some real cutting remarks from people saying, well, a lot of families cannot afford to get lamb from the supermarket.
No, that's right.
It's they're taking freebies.
And they're getting freebies and then basically rubbing your bloody nose on it.
It's, different world. You know, they just can't relate, you know.
Yeah. They don't care.
Well, they don't care, and they go, well, they should have worked harder for my money. That's their normal. Yeah. And rather than think, well, actually, I inherited this from granddad, or inherited that from that.
And I was fortunate, blah, blah, blah.
Where's the honesty about it? Oh, no, I just worked hard for my money.
The fact they take freebies and they expect everyone else to tighten their belts.
Yeah. And it was a very good thing.
Annoys me.
Big Hairy Network. On YouTube about, you know, just exactly that they're looking to make cuts. Where they're looking to make cuts? On the peasantry,
same thing.
They did it in England. Yeah. They'll do it here.
Oh, it's something wrong, so it's Johnny at the bottom of the heap's fault.
He's the problem, yeah.
Yeah.
He wanted the fact
that I don't pay any tax on my seven farms. That's not beside the point.
He's responsible for inflation because he wants a living wage.
Yeah. Yeah,
I've heard economists blaming the poor for inflation because they want a living wage.
Yeah,
there's talk about this so-called double dipping between ACC and working income for people.
Yeah,
they're looking to have a go in there. So, but in that same argument, well, why aren't these other people paying their fair share of bloody tax?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
For example.
It's a big issue, but it's it just annoys me that and some don't. Some go, I'm very fortunate. I've got inherited money, blah, blah, blah. And I've been lucky with skills, et cetera, but they acknowledge that. Whereas others go, well, it's just because I worked hard for my money, you know. Oh, where'd you go to school? King's College. Oh, where did you spend your holidays? Oh, at the batch at, you know, all these things that are privilege. And they just think it's normal. It's not their fault, but if they don't have any empathy, they don't really
appreciate it. They just take it for granted.
Well, the only ones they may often talk to is the other person at the beach house next door.
So it just reinforces
the narrative. Like some politicians reinforce the narrative.
Just like on the other side, to be fair.
Yeah, I know.
Employers, you reinforce what your neighbours do is what you think is normal, you know?
You're normal.
So your environment is very much where you live is how what you understand is normal.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But some of that, particularly the national MPs are putting this narrative up on their web page or Facebook pages. Sorry, about and blaming Labor around they only want to create more taxes.
What's the issue with that?
What's the problem with that?
Yeah, and then it should be,
which is a natural reaction to the fact that this government gave tax cuts.
The same sector of people.
The elite.
Yeah. And I say that I can understand. It's like everyone has the right to critique there and go, all right, what are we spending our taxes on? But if it's just going to be an issue, we should have less government, less services. Then no, that I don't agree with that at all.
That's what this is all about.
This is what the ACT Party seems to push.
And some of the nationals as well.
Roads, and they still want no.
Yeah. But they won't mind if the poor aren't allowed on the roads, you know.
As long as they pay for it.
Yeah.
Because they want to reintroduce.
Well, do we want to be like Israel, where the Israeli citizens are allowed to go on a nice highway, and the others have to walk on behind a big fence behind
it? They could get away with it. Yes.
They would do it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So that what something that's done the rounds is reintroduce a toll for the Auckland Harbour Bridge.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I see that. And the new one, the new Harbour Bridge.
To fund the new one.
Yeah.
Why should that's already been funded?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, the new one, I suppose, and that's their aim. It's this toll road, you know, user pays.
Well, that's a neoliberal.
That's a veritable minefield because there'd be certain some people will claim, oh, I was on a business.
Well, if it's a business car, the company pays for it.
Going to do business. We subsidise.
Yeah, of course we do.
Their toll.
I'm a politician. I'm driving a politician's vehicle.
Yeah,
subsidised by the state.
All that sort of thing goes into it.
But talking about the tax, I mean, that ties in with. I just had a recent convention. There was this infrastructure plans, warns less. Money for roads, more for hospitals. Apparently, New Zealand spends a lot on infrastructure, but poor efficiency and bad maintenance. So, if Mr. Seymour goes for these tax cuts, how are we going to fund for hospitals and infrastructure?
It's called privatisation.
Yeah, which will affect the same group of people who have been disadvantaged.
And yeah, privatisation works fine for those
if
who can afford
money.
It.
Yeah,
and that comes back to the Richard Murphy argument that neoliberalism is actually the economics of destruction.
Yeah, and so they've proved that for the last 40 years.
Yeah, they have.
Yeah. And you look at America, go back to the health thing, is okay, they have health, you know, they have health insurance and all this, and they can get tax things forward. And at least here, sure, if you're wealthy or you've got health issues, you can go and get private medical insurance, but you don't get it off your tax, which is how it should be.
Mm.
Otherwise, you're just avoiding the collective responsibility, you know?
Yeah.
Well, so. I think it's gone out the door, really.
Well, so far it hasn't, but the...
Well, I think they mouth certain platitudes to try and reinforce it. Everything's okay, but behind the scenes, I'm sure they're busy undermining the social welfare system.
Oh, it's
that's exactly what they're doing. Yeah. Too much corporations having too much bloody say.
Yeah.
Well, I go back. Corporations are what? They're owned by wealthy families.
Yeah, so they have too much bloody say.
Yeah.
Well, this infrastructure debt, apparently New Zealand has an enormous infrastructure deficit. Apparently in the heyday of the 1960s and 80s is when infrastructure was built, maintained. But we've been living on borrowed time and now it's running out.
Yeah.
This problem is because New Zealand has an enormous infrastructure deficit. New Zealand's ability to build some of its infrastructure is fast running out. The plan cited Treasury figures from last year, which warned that New Zealand's ageing population and decaying fiscals meant net core crown debt is forecast to be 200% of gross domestic product by 2065, or $237,900 per person.
That was
which would limit the ability of the government to... I mean, it's going to have to start making choices, and we were talking about this before came in here. One of the things they're talking about would be water.
Yeah.
It'll be privatised, meters.
Yeah.
Which again will affect the disadvantaged.
I mean,
you just said your electricity bill's gone up.
Yeah, I see the notice.
I got on my bills going up. I'll try and curb my usage and makes no difference at all.
No, well, they need the base cost, and that's what they found out in the UK, is, all right, people are really cautious, but the basic cost to run it...
Mm.
Has gone up, and then they're privatised, so then they need to have a return to anyone who's got shares in it. So they have to give a return, and who pays the price? They've got the services.
Same disadvantaged people.
And the environment, because the poos and the wheeze goes into the river, you know? And the UK is shocking.
Yes.
And ours won't be that flash either in places.
It's becoming like a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's just like a whirlpool of woe.
Yeah.
And you have to go back to Richard Murphy and the economics of care and nationalisation.
What was it called? Did you get the title?
I forget the title of it. Yeah, but
it was something about neoliberalism. But it was a few days ago. But look him up, folks. He's
just well worth listening to. Just go to your Facebook thing. Yeah.
But I like the fact.
YouTube. Yeah.
I like the fact he talks about we need an economy of care.
Yeah, and it's not.
And his argument is we can afford to have it. We just got to have the will to do it.
Some people aren't willing to chip in there.
Because they're greedy.
Well, they're told to, you know, that they look at the 1% or the 10% and go, I could be like that because I'm doing okay. They don't think, well, actually, what if we try and have a little bit less, all us people are comfortable and everyone's doing a bit better.
But they
don't think like that. No, they look up.
Look up,
it's the wannabes. I remember my old dad said, it's not just the wealthy, it's the wannabe wealthy that hold the whole thing in place.
But see, they would argue that they're going to go down this road like privatising water. In Europe, they're going back to nationalise.
There's a very good documentary on...
It's been running a couple of times now, but it's been a while since it's been on air, called Lords of Water.
Yeah, I saw that,
And it gave the example of Australia, where they privatised. And they gave an example of someone curbing their usage conservatively and be responsible. And what the company's response, we're not making as much money, the price goes up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you can't...
Yeah. The base rate. Yeah.
Base rate.
So
we're living on borrowed time and we're actually running out of time because the infrastructure's not keeping up.
Well, and then you go into population growth.
That's the problem. That ties into this other article, Council criticises rate caps plan. Because Hamilton is one of the cities that's growing, and they're trying to get the government to rethink about this capping at 4%.
Mm.
because
it's not going to work.
Infrastructure. They need to build a road in before you even start building houses.
And what will happen if they keep their 4% thing and we can't do it? Who will miss out?
The same people we've been talking about.
Services to the poorer areas
will
get worse.
Yes, they'll deteriorate to the point they're useless.
And even things like the bus services, and all, they'll start looking around and going, we've got to keep our cap down. What will we chop? You know?
You're kind of seeing it now.
Yes.
Through maintenance of, say, public reserves.
You don't even have to be an economist.
To work it all out.
Or a socialist to work this out. It's in your face. Yeah. If you stop to look around,
it's there.
It just doesn't, it's not working. It's starting to collapse.
Well, and then the more things don't work, the more society collapses. You know, it's sort of self-fulfilling.
You get extremism, you get all sorts of antisocial behaviour, whatever.
People feel they're missing out, not cared about, so then Johnny puts a stone through the window of the bus shelter.
I've just got a nice car, I'll have that.
Or I'll scratch it or whatever,
So the list goes on of just the capitalist system as we've got.
Societal decay.
It's not working.
But these clowns won't recognise that.
No, they don't live in it. Let's face it.
Because they've got everything to gain from keeping the system.
Yeah, of course they
have. They gain.
Of course they have.
The rest of us don't.
And they live in nice suburbs, and they have a nice beach house and a nice lake house. So they're insulated from
They're in nice little gated communities.
Yeah.
All the same persuasion.
Yeah. As they're normal, you know.
And they can't understand why people aren't happy.
Or why it happens. They can't even understand
it. I'm wealthy and they make no connection.
They should have worked hard like I did, you know?
I found a classic example of decay, but this is from Northern England.
Right. Okay, yep.
There's a song that came out probably in the 1980s called A Life in a Northern Town.
Okay.
Vaguely. Manchester, sort of Lancashire, up
that way. Lancashire, I think. Northeast.
Because there's whole swathes up.
And what they did, this YouTubers did, is that they visited the places where they did the music video.
Right.
And what struck me from the then and the now, how much it has really decayed.
Really decayed. Yeah.
There was a kind of a nice looking side alley that they went through, that they did part of the production through. In present time, it looked like crap. There was just rubbish everywhere. And that's just one.
Typical. Typical lots of places.
Well, and around the world, America, etc.
That was quite stark.
Well, I mean, I've noticed we've come from where we live on Hamilton East. I've been over to Denistow. I've noticed a marked difference in the quality of housing.
The sections
and just the general appearance.
Yeah.
And the tidiness or lack of.
I
look at the places where council are responsible for.
Mm.
Like going down Kahikatea Drive and mowing the verges, or mowing the verge on that side. Yeah. It used to get mowed quite a lot.
Yeah,
but maybe once or twice in a month.
And also don't forget, to be fair to everyone who involves in lawn mowing, buddy, with the summer we've had, the grass is growing much.
That too,
normally you'd just be cutting seed heads.
And they might have budgeted, we only have to mow the lawns once a fortnight in the summer. Well, not this year.
They're cutting grass.
Yeah.
Is that Sportsville Steel Park? Normally that would be brown.
Yeah.
Another summer's. It's still bright green.
Verdant green.
Just going for it.
I just seem to be mowing lawns,
But going back to this here, You always think of what things have could have happened, like Labor government's super fund of the 70s. And the money that would have been made from that. Would enable us to keep on top of the infrastructure, or the infrastructure versus a growing population.
Just to throw the donkey in amongst the bulls, we've also got to remember, of course, when England and lots of areas, even New Zealand with the car manufacturing and all this, you know, we had big manufacturing things. We made our own things of lots of things. Well, of course, the rise of China and its efficiencies means that there's factories right around the world that couldn't compete with China.
Direct.
It's a bigger picture, because a lot of the wealthy families that had these factories in the UK and America, etc., took their business to China.
Well, yeah, you know, cheap labour.
Yeah, so that's the other, you know, the other reason is that, hello, you're not gonna buy a loaf of bread for $3 if you can buy it for a dollar down 100 yards away.
Yeah, but when we talk about the New Zealand, that the Norman Kirk Super Fund, Australia and Singapore picked that up.
Yeah.
And they ran with it and they kept it.
Yeah.
And what's the state of their economy now?
Yeah.
What's the state of their infrastructure now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what did we do? We booted it into touch.
We're wealthy.
We're wealthy.
The wolves are contained in the hands of a few.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
It's not spread out. Yeah. We haven't got a super fund to fall onto when we want to improve our infrastructure.
Well, and
they're saying in this article that we're spending more on roads than we do on any other infrastructure.
Well, our roads. Yeah. Well, you've got to balance it up against hospitals, schools, other form of transportation networks.
Yeah.
Roads should not be the number one here.
No, but they are, and they build a road, it gets used,
Network infrastructure. So roads, telecommunications and water should be funded by users. So you're talking about user pays.
Yeah. That's scary stuff.
Hospitals were a major focus of the report of this commission. I think this was the Infrastructure Commission's first infrastructure plan published yesterday or Friday. But, hospitals were a major focus of the report. The commission indicated investment demand as a share of GDP will double from its 2010 to 2022 average of 0.2% to 0.4% over the next 20 years as the population ages. By contrast, demand for investment in schools and universities will decrease slightly as people have fewer children. It's a big article. It's two pages.
It's a big problem.
Yeah, and there's so many moving parts.
Sure. Yeah, and it's not an easy fix, to be fair.
You tinker one thing, you've got to then change something else, then something else.
Yeah.
But this needs a bipartisan approach.
Or a Chinese approach of a 50-year plan.
Just announced the beginning of a new 5-year or implementing a new 5-year plan. Yeah.
But they have 15-year plans, they have 20...
This is where the 50-year plan should have started way back.
They
had the baby boomers, for goodness sake. That's part of the issue.
Yeah.
Or main part of the issue, because that's part of the ageing population. Yeah. So the foresight would have been to say, well, what do we need to cater for an ageing population moving forward?
Yeah.
We need an increase in the tax-paying population to keep... Then it gets back to infrastructure because this government wants more immigrants coming in, but there's no investment, long-term investment in infrastructure for all those houses and schools and hospitals, whatever.
And then they'll blame the shortness of the parliamentary term, and that's a different argument. But this is when you come back to the bipartisan approach to this that extends across short parliamentary terms.
And occasionally they do have a bipartisan sort of agreement, but
it's few and far between.
And fickle too, isn't it? Yeah,
it can be fickle. Yeah.
And who wants to own it? Who wants to run it?
So it comes back to that cap plan. That I don't see how it's going to add up.
No, that capping rates is a problem because that's not keeping up. Keeping on top of the infrastructure improvements that need to happen.
They're saying Hamilton faces challenges at the upfront cost of new suburbs requiring multi-million dollars. We've got some roadworks around our way. They must be multi-million dollars, maybe single figure.
But it's a lot of money.
City faces changes, new suburbs requiring multi-million dollar transport connections before any homes are built and the need to proactively address climate-related risks.
Yeah, and that's the other.
That's another one.
That's the argument against having all the emphasis on roads, for example.
Yeah, of course it is.
Where are they building the damn things?
Yeah.
Is there any sort of weather mitigating stuff going on?
And where are they going to plant some of these houses? They're talking about putting them up in flood-prone areas.
Yeah.
I mean, just beggars belief.
This is the thing where you need the long-term 50-year vision.
Don't forget, they do have town planners and they do have engineers and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, it's not like it isn't there, it's just how well it's done.
But there's something that's not working right. There doesn't seem to be enough forward thinking. In fact, the climate is changing. There's no ways you can dispute it. It's changing. What are all the floods we've had in the last few weeks?
Oh, yeah.
Crops are being wiped out.
Yeah.
So food prices for some people is going to go up.
Well,
and it's and all around the world, certain crops are just being wiped out, either by drought or flood,
yeah,
or fire,
or both,
or three, or everything.
Yeah, know? Yeah. All right, everything has a ripple, whatever
yes,
it we does. Do,
it's all,
and good things have a ripple too.
Yes, but it's all interconnected.
Yeah.
One thing goes wrong, and it ripple just.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Speaking of crops, and you're speaking of Otorohanga, I think that's you're alluding to, Mick. Paul Barlow had a good piece on.
He did
on,
very good
on
yeah.
that on that one, and the, and he highlighted that one of the Waipa district councillors is a climate change denier.
Oh,
it's quite interesting. Yeah,
he
do get them, eh? But I
he, think they and he got voted office. In.
Yeah, he got voted in
to a councillor. Yeah,
he and
well, there must be an awful lot of public climate deniers if they voted him in.
Yeah. Well, I think it shows you the effects of the gullibility of people. The there's pluses it's about social media, but there's also huge
it
negatives.
It certainly stretches my sense of imagination to try and measure their gullibility to think that this has not happened.
Well, America's got President Trump.
Yes, I know.
It had Boris Johnson.
I still have difficulty
twice.
Thinking that how can people actually think like this?
If you watch that white man walking, Mick's seen a bit of it.
Yeah, that was crazy.
You can understand it. By crikey,
there's an awful lot of ignorance out there.
Yeah.
His name is Les Bennett.
Right.
And he represents the ward that sort of encumbers his Porongia.
Okay, so rural. He's got rural support, etc.
Yeah, yeah. But there was also another. Represented for the Porongia ward.
So his argument being that these are just natural events?
No, what has happened, I think what Paul was alluding to, is that the mayor for the Otorohanga area was Dow or something.
Yeah, and he spoke very well, actually.
Yeah, he was very well. He made
credit to him.
And the representative from, the other representative of Porongia, they made people aware what's happening with the civil defence, where they need to go and all these sorts of things.
Yeah.
Not a peep out of this person.
Yeah. So he's got his head in the sand.
Yeah, probably somewhere else as well.
Well, yeah.
We can't say that.
I think everyone can work that one out.
but isn't it goes back, let's face it, I'm not a scientist or anything else, but the more cows we put on, the more bare land we have for farming, and we don't do mitigation like swamps and flood areas, etc., we're going to get floods.
You don't have to be a scientist.
You don't have to be a rocket scientist.
Or an economist. You just open your eyes and look and see what's going on.
Yeah, and this thing's big picture thinking. All right, we get flooding in the Waipa River and the discolour, the pollution, etc.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What about, we need a nationwide three water type plan. We need to buy thousands of acres back off cockies and that are flat, that flood, and put them back into swamps.
Yeah.
We did
so they catch some of this bloody water.
But these guys won't.
The current,
we won't do it. We don't think big.
The former government did it when they purchased that land around Lake Horowhenua.
That's right. Down they did it. They bought a dairy farm and said we need to get some more land. And that's often the case. We just need to go.
Kind of visionary.
And that was used for flood mitigation.
Flood and stormwater and all
still
that.
There as a flood
mitigation. Yeah, because I think Lake Horowhenua is quite heavily polluted as well.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
But a lot of town pollution, not just dairy. We've gone from set stocking with sheep and what they call dry stock farming to dairy cows everywhere. There's a lot more pollution. It is a lot. Farms are a lot more heavily used.
Yeah. Yeah,
and there's money in that. Don't get me wrong. There's a huge amount of wealth going into the dairy industry and the dairy sector.
Funny you said that because there was an issue with water. The quality of water in Eastern Christchurch, East Christchurch, because they had to get their water trucked in because it was contaminated some way.
Yeah,
and we know that because the Canterbury Plains has now become dairy.
Yeah,
so there may be
contaminated by
connection and traditionally East Christchurch was a labour stronghold, so a working class area.
Yeah.
So maybe also there's something in that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just popular. It goes back. We do get population increases and all that.
Yeah, I know.
But you actually have to go. Okay, if we're going to allow more dairying in the industry or more people, what are you talking about? What's that? Getting on track. Yeah. You know, going to allow more people. Where's the planning?
Yeah. Where's the infrastructure?
Yeah. Have we got the flood mitigation? What are we doing about it?
And
who's ahead of the? Who's really ahead of the eight ball for a big country? Is China.
Yeah, they're thinking about the mitigation stuff.
They're starting to do sponge cities. They're going, okay, we've got to... And their landscape is tough in lots of areas.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's not like America where it's all... You know,
it goes from mountains to deserts
to ravines, and it's tough. It's but they go, okay, we've got 1.4 billion people. How do we do this?
Mm.
And they think it through, and they've still got lots to do, but they do far more than America.
Yeah, because of that they're dropping that greenhouse gases stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, so watch this space. It's not going to go away.
The pity is, you have the Greens, and a lot of people won't vote for them or anything else. But at least the Greens have actually shifted the eight ball on those major parties by them all having now the Nats do talk about some environmental stuff, not recently so much because. Yeah. Shane Jones has been pushing them
he's
another one hitting the same stuff. Yeah.
So there is environmental ideas out there and policies, etc.
Trying to get the politicians or the government to act on it.
Well, and it's also trying to get the population behind it enough. You have a march for let's stop our, mitigate flooding by buying 100,000 hectares in New Zealand. How many people would march in the street?
Very little.
Yeah. You get more for a pet for looking after animals. That's just how it is. And this is not just here, it's worldwide.
Yeah.
And then they're all upset in Wellington they're upset that the poo factory flooded. They should be upset that they're putting all their raw sewage
into the sea.
That's what they should be upset about.
The one that goes swimming and fishing.
Yeah. Well, it goes off. They say, it's just that typical. Well, it's far enough away. It's like living at the beach.
But it doesn't work. The contaminants don't conveniently go away. They circle.
But it's like not worrying about what's happening in Hamilton with pollution and going off to the beach house. In the weekends.
Or pristine.
This is lovely.
What's wrong?
Yeah. Shouldn't put your sewage out there in the first place. Should deal with it on land.
But so that's me really on my soapbox, apart from a little footnote about Israel. But you've got some stuff.
I've got a few things.
Oh, yep.
Okay. Well, the first one is for those people who are not particularly enamoured with Mr. Trump, he had a big defeat last night.
Did he?
Yeah.
The Supreme Court came out 6-3 saying that his Liberation Day terrorists are illegal. And we're unlawful, sorry.
Is he going to appeal?
Well, who knows? But it's quite a dominant decision, 6-3. It's not sort of five.
Pretty clear cut.
It's pretty clear cut. And because what he did is on Liberation Day, which is back there, he says, we're an emergency of the economy wise, so we're bringing in these tariffs.
Tariffs on other people.
They've decided, it wasn't an emergency. It's overstepped his power. So, the argument is, will they have to, according to some, it's not retroactive, which means you don't have to pay back what they've taken.
So it's from this point onwards.
Well, yeah, but others are arguing, if it's unlawful, how can it be retroactive?
Why can't it be?
Yeah, why can't it be the start? Which would be a huge headache for the trying to pay back everyone.
You think it would go back to when he implemented them?
That would be the normal thing.
Well, that's what most people think. He acted illegal from that.
But how to do that?
The amount of money involved.
150, and see, so Trump's argument, which gained some, and the share market over there has been huge, $150 billion they've collected from terrorists. It's a lot.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's a year yet. So, yeah. It's that thing, but this is a biggie because this is a real slap in his face.
Mm.
It doesn't stop all tariffs, etc., because there's other tariffs that are put in under the War Act and under the We Don't Like You Act and all this. Mm. But this one about the fact that he used it as an emergency isn't right. So So that's what it doesn't apply to all tariffs. And my real worry is that, because he's had this huge loss, will this just push him over the edge to attacking Iran?
Yeah, distraction.
Maggie Thatcher, Falklands, Look, if this, suddenly will people be worrying about him losing if they're blowing up Iranians? They'll be going, yeah, USA, USA. You know, that's their, seems to be their mentality. But that's a big one. That's a big one. So yeah, America's talking about that.
Wow.
Yeah, so, yeah.
And surprised because some of those appointees were Trump appointees, weren't they?
Oh, yeah. I think they were a majority. But it's obviously the law, and it goes back. I listened to one judge, and he said basically it's just said it was never the purpose of Congress and legislature is to make those decisions, not the president.
Right.
The only reason they gave it to the president is you've been attacked. There's communication problems everywhere. You step in with decision making because Congress can't meet.
But they've ruled he's overstepped the mark.
Yeah. So basically, they said that we need it'll give the power back to the legislative process, which means it still could happen.
Yes.
But at least it goes for a body of people, not just
it's legal. It could be still terrible, but it might be legal.
Yeah, and we can't trust America. Don't think America is going to be the good guys. They'll still use their hegemonic ways. So that's my one on America. I've got two others. Just as a side, there's about the UK. Both of them about the UK, actually. First, we'll do that. There's a by-election on this. It's our Friday, February the 26th, in Gorton and Denton, which is
Manchester
area, which is what part of England?
Mid-north,
is it? So, and it's quite interesting because they say the race is in between the reform, Matt Goodwin of the Reforms and Hannah Spencer of the Greens. They think Labor's not even going to have a look in.
Well, yeah.
But what it shows, though, is Gorton and Denton was two different boroughs or whatever, and they've joined it together. But Gorton is richer, and the property prices are doing all right and all this, and Denton is poorer. So it's a real typical of what you'd call rich and poor. It could be a split. And it's first past the post, of course. So, but it'll be an indicator. You know, we all hear stuff in the media about Starmer and, you know, if Labor, and it was a strong, let's face it, it's always been a strong Labor.
Not anymore.
Area. Well, we don't know. But
well, I rather suspect that people must be disillusioned with Labor.
Well,
there was disillusioned with the Tories, even worse. Yeah. I mean, Starmer, I think someone told me during the week that he's polling at -65.
Or something.
Where's the vote of confidence in Parliament?
Yeah.
Nothing.
But this by-election, but forget all what we hear from media and social media. Yeah. An actual election gives you an indication of what's going on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're the real poll, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Politicians
like to dismiss them, but they are thermometers.
Yeah. So that'll be. I think it'll be a really interesting watch to know what happens
there. Because the guy, the incumbent, didn't he have to step down?
Yeah, he lost the plot and had a few derogatory comments about all sorts of things.
I think he used expletives.
Yeah. I think he just got overwhelmed by the people that come in knocking on the. The surgery. They call them surgeries
there. Yeah, or clinics.
We call them clinics. Yeah. Well, we don't know where our MPs live most of them.
And where was he from? What party did he represent?
Who's that? Labor. It was a solid Labor seat. That's what I mean. So it'll be interesting. Can Labor retain it, or will it go? Will it be a race off between Reforms and Greens?
And mind you, the new party you're saying is even more rock far.
Well, right? I'll just go on to that now. Mm-hmm. So now what's happened in the UK, which came out last week, this, I don't know if you've heard of him, Rupert Lowe.
That's a bit of a giveaway.
Yeah, Rupert. So
Rupert Lowe.
He's not a factory worker, but okay, no. That's anyway, he's an MP. He's an independent MP, but he broke away from Reform.
Right.
Him and Nigel Farage and some had a spat.
Oh, dear.
And so he broke away from just an independent. Well, last week he announced that he's forming a political party. He was just going to be a lobby group originally.
Right.
And now he's decided he'll form a party, and it's called Restore UK.
So do pundits think they might have an effect on...
Well, I'll run through what his main policies are, if you like.
Right.
So his main policies is... Deport all illegal undocumented migrants in the UK. A referendum on the death penalty. Scrap foreign aid. Slash corporation tax to become the lowest in Europe. Limit social benefits for Brits only. Ban the burqa and ban the niqab. How do you pronounce that? Niqab. Niqab, I think.
Niqab.
N-I-Q-A-B.
Niqab.
Yeah. Sorry. And banned Sharia courts, banned halal and kosher slaughter for
right. Meat. So it's open
Hang
slaver.
On, two more.
Open slaver.
Repeal the Gender Recognition Act.
Oh.
Okay. So you make not much luck if you're going to be a trans or anything else. And abolish the OBR, which over there is the Office, oh, Office of Budget,
Budget Responsibility.
That
doesn't bode well.
It's
not
well,
bode well.
It's right of of the Reform Party.
Doesn't make me feel any more cheerful.
Well, what it, to me it, the thing is it they've had the genuine one or has it been done to make reform look more moderate?
That could well
could
be.
It could be an argument.
Because initially I thought, boy, this is going to split the right.
But that menu of what he wants to do, that's just
that's extreme right wing.
Well, the latest poll, it's already got 10% support.
Restore has.
Restore has. And 60 or 70,000 members.
Right. It could be a means of making Farage more palatable than he is or isn't.
Isn't or isn't. But I think what I was thinking about is this Rupert Lowe, he's got his own history and he's a farmer and
doesn't help.
You know, doesn't help. But... Farage has really got a lot of baggage. You know, he's narcissistic. He's sort of a half Trump. He's done dubious deals and everything else. So a lot of people said, "Oh, we've liked reform, but we're holding our nose about Farage."
He from the very system provided cheap labour immigrants.
Oh,
but then he wants to chuck them out
and democracy.
Yeah,
and
blah blah blah.
Yeah. It's quite interesting. So. But, you know, they're all going on in the UK. The immigration thing's huge. But it's like there's only 4 million Muslims in the UK, which is 6% of the population. Still 75% are white, European. But they don't talk about resettlement of all the people that came in from Hong Kong and Ukraine.
Oh, that's funny.
It's strange that, you know. So it's,
is that because they're the right...
colour.
Yes.
It's got to be, it seems to be going back that
it's pure racism.
It's just pure racism. And they won't talk about it, but in the end it's like, yeah, they can come in because you're white.
They talk all the way around it, but that's what they're talking about.
Yeah. Sounds like the BNP, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, mostly in people like that.
Yeah, but the birth rate in Britain and the UK at present is 1.41 babies per woman. Yeah, it's been low anyway.
Mm.
Because it's very expensive to have kids.
Yeah. And I think, 34% of births in the UK at present are to non-UK-born women.
Yeah. Europeans aren't replacing themselves.
And the main migration groups are from India, Nigeria and Pakistan.
And
China's after that, I believe. You can see why, because let's face it, look, you live there, Mick, you can tell the story, but in the 50s and 60s, like lots of places, the UK was very white and they had a few people.
No Irish.
Yeah, and so people said, oh, we need more people to do stuff, so they brought people in.
Mm.
And so everyone was pro-immigration for quite some time. Whereas suddenly now, and I'm only guessing this, but a bit like America, it's like, oh, we're getting overwhelmed.
There was a huge labour shortage in the early post-war years. So indentured labour came from the former colonies. But then when the economic thing went pear-shaped in the 70s, that's when people turned around and started talking, you haven't got a job because those people took your job.
Yeah.
But they were doing a job you didn't want to do in the first place.
Yeah, that's right too.
You know, that sort of stuff.
So, and
very convenient blinkered thinking.
Yeah,
very much so.
There's been 200,000. This is all approximate figures. Illegal immigrants crossing the channel.
What does Rupert want to do about the fact that the Her Majesty's prison has inadvertently released pedophiles?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah.
Because,
yeah. But there's a million. There's a million undocumented. They think. They don't know, of course, because they're undocumented.
But I think there's
around a million in the UK.
Yeah, but they're not the real problem. The real problem is with legal immigrants from Hong Kong, Ukraine,
Everywhere else. A lot of the Ukrainians gone back, I just see as a side note. Yeah, 40% have left the UK. Where they've gone to, whether they've gone back to Ukraine or just gone back to Europe, maybe.
But
it's... it's really interesting. So you can see why you can actually understand why restore and remain. What is it?
Reform.
Reform.
Or reformation. That
for the average Brit sitting there and living a lifetime, they've seen their suburbs change.
Yeah. And some of those people have been languishing on council lists and seen other people.
And then
walk
you see someone come in from.
Just walk in and get a council house.
And that can create what?
Resentment.
Resentment, of course. You know. And the same thing's happened in Ireland. And the same thing can happen here. Well, and it has happened here.
Kind of happening here. Yeah, you know, kind of
if another million Indians come in under the Indian Free Trade Agreement, how are people at the bottom end of the peg going to feel if they don't get somewhere to live?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know?
Well, you're going to have the same problem.
And it's not those people coming from India's fault.
But they will be blamed.
They will be blamed.
They will be the target. They won't ever go to the politicians. They'll go for someone who's visible.
Yeah, that's who you should be blaming. It's the politicians.
Resentment. Yeah. So you know, and the argument should be really is, okay, how do we, just like infrastructure, how do we keep our sort out what migrants we need and how are we going to keep the infrastructure for everyone?
It's called a vision.
Yeah, it's got to be called a vision, you know. Otherwise, you just get what you call populists come up and say, well, it's their fault. They're brown and they're coming in and we need to stop them.
Yeah, well, restore and reform are almost kind of the same, but on the same backside, aren't
they? That's why I think, you know, even said it's going to split the right.
Yeah.
But is it going to split the right or is this just a...
smokescreen.
It makes reform more palatable.
Yeah.
Because it's conservative.
It happened in France.
Conservative.
In their election.
Yeah.
It was further right than Le Pen.
Yeah.
And people start thinking that she was more palatable than that lot, the new one.
Yeah. But it's interesting, reforms put a lot of ex-conservatives have jumped ship into a shadow cabinet. So watch the space. But I think this election in
Gorton and Denton.
Gorton and Denton. Will be a really good indicator of what's going on because obviously one suburb's quite well off, doing all right, and one's poor.
And we'll leave it along those lines.
And will we see it? And in the UK, it's still got an organised system. So we'll see what polling booths voted how.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if they vote along those lines. And will wealthy and not so wealthy.
It will, absolutely. And how many don't vote and all that. It'll come. So that's all I've got.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so one thing we haven't talked about is the arrest.
Oh, Mr. Mountbatten.
Wednesday, yes.
Yeah, he was arrested and discharged or on bail.
He's had, which is normal practice. Yeah. He hasn't got...
But the news have been flying.
Oh, they've loved it.
Yeah, they loved it right here.
They've loved it.
That picture of him in the back of that vehicle.
But is it
I haven't seen that.
But is it used also as a distraction?
Yes, of course.
It is as a distraction, yes.
You know, he's a name, so they... Oh, we'll throw him under the bus while the rest all keep going, you know?
Yeah, and the charges are really around financial damage.
Yeah, nothing to do with the sex side of it.
Leaking of confidential.
But
he was envoy for commerce or something.
Which goes back to my thing about the Epstein thing. Some of it's about sex with underage girls, etc.
But the main lot is this club of
moneyed people doing deals and manipulation, etc.
Dirty deals too, by the sounds of it.
So
poor Mr. Mountbatten Windsor.
And I think his ex-wife has gone to ground too.
Is she?
And they dragged.
She had a few emails with him as well. She's been implicated as well.
On a personal level with him.
I think she could have even asked for money.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you don't know.
Dear, oh dear. Yeah.
And it may impact on the daughters as well. Yeah.
Not a good look, is it?
Yeah.
Well, the trouble, I think there'd be probably nothing, you know, if you're up in those classes, et cetera, and then suddenly you run out of money, you'd scramble for... The loss of face must be awful for them.
Having to get yourself accustomed to a lifestyle you're no longer used to.
Well, yeah, hello, I'm in a council flat, you know.
I'm eighth on the
48th in there to the floor and I live in a council flat.
Serves
them right.
Yes, he's been living on borrowed time. He's been involved in all sorts of... scandalous.
I'm not defending them, but I'm just saying, I imagine there's been sort of figureheads.
There may well be others who are even worse.
And over the generations, You know, how many Randy Andys have there been? You know.
Oh yeah.
Well, he's not the only one, but he's been caught.
And let's face it, that's the real sin. He's got caught. If you're not caught, you get away with it. Yes. You know.
Yeah.
The only people who went over would be his lawyers.
Yeah, well, I don't know what'll happen, I suppose.
What if he'll apply for legal aid? If he hasn't got
he might be entitled.
He might be entitled.
That would really
stick in the craw of some people, eh?
Yeah, because he
end up applying for legal aid.
Particularly when he could pay $12 million to the
Does he still get any money from the kings? You know,
I think he does. I think he's an allowance from the king.
All his duties were cancelled. His titles are gone.
But I think
because he wasn't participating fully, they curtailed some of his.
But would he just get an allowance from the king?
I think he does.
Or the crown, rather. The government. But I imagine it's probably been curtailed a wee bit.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't fully engaged in royal duties.
But in his defense, how many people are around the world getting some money from somewhere when they've been pushed out of a country or anything else?
They're getting a nice cheque each
month from somewhere.
Oh, by the way, here's a cheque to see you through for next month, but in the meantime, can you see your way clear to
having
a chat with that person over there?
Almost like a,
Well, we know, for example, Assad, when he fled, he went to Russia. So he must be getting him.
But I noticed the Russians aren't giving up because they want him back. But the Russians
I think they're rather busy at the moment, aren't they?
The Russians are busy, but they want that port in Syria.
Yeah, that's the only reason they stayed.
Yeah. They've seemed to be on reasonable relations with the Syrian government.
If the new Syrian government ever comes to do it, they might better strike a deal with the Russians and say yes.
Well, he seems to be trying to get Syria back united. Mm-hmm. But whether or not he's going to get Syria united apart from the Israeli part, they've just by chance have happened to take a little bit more land under defending Israel.
Make all sorts of noises about that.
Yeah,
you're talking about land. There was a piece in the paper that I think this is in the Times on Tuesday. Israel starts disputed land move. U.S. administrations have condemned. That means nothing. U.S. administrations have condemned expansion of settlement construction in the area. And apparently the Israelis have changed the law whereby if a Palestinian family cannot prove that they own a house or or land, they're gone. They're evicted.
Oh, yeah, it's a tough...
Slow process of just... It's just land grab. It's just...
Just colonisation.
Yeah.
Well, Gaza's ethnic cleansing come genocide and West Bank is... Brutal colonisation.
Yeah.
The Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas obviously has appealed to the UN to.
Well, I don't think much will happen there.
Nothing much will happen there. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing about the border peace. Trump sees it as looking after the UN. He's got ambitions of that board will start influencing UN Council type meetings,
Well, that's what security says. Well, let's face it, the UN, it's a noble purpose, but by those veto rights.
But it's been undermined by the quality of the membership.
Yeah.
Particularly on the Security Council.
Yeah.
And let's talk about expanding the Security Council too.
You have invitees each year.
Yeah.
I think the president's 15, 5 permanent, but they're talking about expanding that.
India's got 1.5 billion.
It should be on the Security Council.
Yeah, things should change. And I say they've got that invitation that you can be on for a year or two or whatever.
They do every 6 months.
We've been on it. We take turns on six months.
They should get
Now talking about whether it's true or not, expand the actual numbers of the Security Council. Apart from the 5 permanent.
If it was just a ratification vote of 70%, I can understand like a union vote, it shouldn't just be 50-50. If there's a high 75%, say, it should be a ratification rate or something. So, yeah, you can vote against it, but if most people are against you, you got to go along with it, you know? But no.
Yeah, there's that bloody veto vote.
Yeah,
that should go.
Yeah,
that's
being talked about again, but it means nothing.
Well, the Americans won't change the constitution that was built by a whole lot of guys with single musket, slave-owning single musket wealthy people, wouldn't it? Mm. Constitution.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a red letter if those permanent members all voluntarily.
We have to get out of here. We're running out of time. Sorry.
Oh, see ya.
Catch us on Free FM and our podcast.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.